We need to be as energized every day as you are at this conference in order to send the message loudly and clearly. We're going to take our country back, and we're going to get back to supporting the American middle class and the people who make this country work for a change. That's going to happen starting in 2008. I want to thank your officers. They are great to work with throughout the year. Thanks to Tom and Rich and Warren Mart, Lynn Tucker, Robert Roach, my friend Jimmy, who met me from New York. We have a great team in New York, and I know that the Machinists have a great team across the country. So it's a real privilege for me to be here to talk with you. Because I come from the point of view that America is great because we've had people who've worked hard to build a better life for themselves and their families, who've contributed to their communities and their country. And we're at a real tipping point now. You know, with all due respect, rich people did not make America great. You can find rich people anywhere in the world. And unfortunately, you can find poor people everywhere in the world. But you cannot find hardworking middle-class families as we have right here, who built the American economy, except when you look out and you see what happened in the last 100 years, thanks to the American labor movement. There is no doubt we would not have had an American middle class if we had not had a strong, vigorous American labor movement. And it's time everybody understood that. As I go around the country, I talk about how we need to get back to a balance of power. I'm a big believer in balance of power. You know, our founders understood that. That's why we had checks and balances in our Constitution. That's why we had separation of powers within our government. And in our economy, we started to have the right balance of power, starting back in the 1930s and moving forward, because we had an American labor movement to balance our employers and our private sector. That's the way it works best for everybody. But I don't need to tell you that there has been a concerted effort over really 50 years, but it's been brought to its fruition in the last 6 years. With the president and the vice president that we have now, there has been an anti-labor union movement. There's been a concerted effort to undermine the protections, the privileges, and the rights that should belong to every American to organize and bargain collectively. You know, I've often said that when the White House sees the union bug, they call the exterminator. And we've got to figure out how we get back to saying and convincing Americans that the union movement is not just about people who are already organized, not just about the leaders from around the country like all of you, not just about your members. It is about whether or not we will have an American middle class in the middle of this century we find ourselves in today. You know, when people tell me that they're pro-worker, I ask them if they're pro-union, because you can't be one without being the other. And if you look around the world, much of the positive change that we've seen in the last 20 years was led by labor leaders. You know, from Poland to South Africa, labor leaders were absolutely instrumental in changing their countries, overthrowing communism, overthrowing apartheid, creating better opportunities for the men and women who lived and worked in those countries. But look at what's happened today. CEO pay is up, the stock market is up, corporate profits are up, productivity, which means we're working harder than ever, is also up, but wages are not up, and everything else costs more. So, I mean, if you're a hardworking American, you haven't had a decent raise in a long time. But your health care costs have gone up 90% on average since the year 2000. College tuition has gone up faster than anybody can believe. Energy costs are up. Look at the price of the gas pump right now. You know, the national average is $3.07. In some places, it's more than that. And the projection is we may hit $4 a gallon by this summer. So there is a lot that we have to be concerned about. But there is no problem we can't deal with if we're organized politically and if we have a strategy about how we're going to go forward. I think it's important that we analyze the problem and then we have a political strategy to try to change what is the prevailing wisdom in the political system today. I think that our middle-class families are under siege. In fact, I don't think that this White House even sees people. Their problems are invisible. You know, if you're trying to organize and you think you've got the law on your side and you keep running into harassment and obstacles, well, you're invisible to this administration. If you're a hardworking single mom going to work, maybe getting an education who needs childcare that's affordable, you're invisible. If you're a family that doesn't work for an employer or have a contract for health care, and you're one of the 47 million Americans without health care, you're sure invisible. If you're even a small business trying to pay energy costs, you're invisible too. But I never thought we would see our soldiers coming back from Iraq, needing medical treatment and the compensation they have earned, be invisible as well. Well, I know that these people and millions more are not invisible to the machinists. They're not invisible to you, and they will not be invisible to the next president of the United States. We're going to start working on the problems that our families face every single day. I know people are ready for a change. In fact, as I travel around the country, it seems to me that people are just anxious to put the country on fast forward. You know, nobody wants to live through the next 20 months. Everybody wants the election to come as quickly as possible. I've never seen so much intensity. You know, we're getting crowds as I travel around that usually get like a week before an election. I was in Reno a few weeks ago. On a Sunday morning, we had 3,500 people in a gymnasium, and the fire marshal shut it down. We couldn't get anybody else in there. So I know people are ready for change. And I believe we need a president again who sets goals for our country. You know, that's the way it used to be in America. When I was growing up, that wasn't so long ago. We used to set goals. You know, we set a goal to defeat the Soviets and end, you know, communist oppression around the world. It took a while, but we were successful. We set a goal to send a man to the moon and bring him back safely and to be dominant in space. We were successful. We set a goal to connect the country up by interstate highways. We sure did that. We have set a lot of goals, and then we've realized them. But what are our goals today? You know, if one of your kids, your grandkids says, well, what are the goals for America? What would you tell them? We don't have any. You know, we're not acting like a great country. We're not setting goals and bringing people together and saying, look, let's roll up our sleeves. Everybody is on the American team, business, labor, all of us. We're heading toward that goal together. Well, that's what I want to do as president. I want to set some goals. I want to set the goal of universal health care, quality, affordable health care for every single American.